This is New York's Asset Protection Roundtable with Ted Alatsis of Alatsis Law Firm. Our mission at Alatsis Law Firm is to assist you with the three pillars of protection: preserving your assets, providing you help, and protecting your future.
Welcome into New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a three pillars of protection program, along with Ted Alatsis, attorney and counselor at law over at the Alatsis Law Firm in Brooklyn, New York. I am Ben George, and today we're going to open up the mailbag, get some of your questions, and answer those. Again, I love these episodes because we cover a variety of topics and what's important to you, so we'll do our best to answer those questions today on the podcast. But I want to change it up a little bit on you, Ted. I want to introduce a little something we're going to try to do from time to time, a little legalese of the day. I know, you know, there's a lot of words, and maybe you don't throw them around all the time, but there's a lot of jargon that gets used in your industry. I'm sure you're well aware of that. But especially in estate planning, right? There's a lot of stuff that people might be reading about or hear about, but don't quite understand. So I just want to introduce a term from time to time and just kind of let you give us a quick, 101 breakdown of what it means. So for today, here's what I have for you. Per stirpes. I've heard it before, but I'll be honest, I don't really know what it means.
Yeah, that's a great question, Ben. And I get that all the time, especially when people are looking at their will and they see that language in there. So per stirpes is literally, it's from the Latin, which means from the root. So the best way to describe it is thinking of a tree. Okay. You're the tree, and every branch that comes from that trunk is a child. And every branch that comes from that branch is another, is your grandchild. And then any branch that comes from that is a great grandchild. Each one of those initial branches is a root of your family tree. And when you divide something per stirpes, it's basically per each of those respective branches. So if you have three children, you have three roots. If one child has two kids, another child has one kid, and another child has three kids, then, you know, each root is subdivided by the number of children that they have. So if a child, your son is your first child, and your son has two children, if his share were to have to go to the children because he passed away, then his per stirpes root would be divided in half. If you have a daughter and she has one child, then her per stirpes root would be divided by 100%. And so on and so on. So it's literally dividing everything by the respective branches of your offspring. Okay. That's kind of the best way to describe it. And how is that different? So let's say you had, you know, in that scenario I just described, you have five grandchildren, right? Two from one child, one from another, six grandchildren, and three from the third. By representation, which is the opposite of per stirpes, would say that each of the grandchildren gets 1/6 of your estate. Whereas per stirpes, it would be obviously divided slightly different.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. So we'll try to do this a little bit more from episode to episode, just to kind of go through some legalese that you might have heard when it comes to estate planning, and have Ted break it down for us. But today we want to jump into the mailbag. That's what we're going to do. We've got a few questions that have come into the show. You can send them in to us via the website, alatsislawfirm.com. And you can always call directly if you'd prefer just to speak to Ted rather than sending him in. You can do that at 718-233-2903. All right. First question comes in from Miles. Curious to your answer on this one here, Ted. My wife and I have three children. Two of them are in college. One is in high school. I want everything split equally between them. My banker said, just name the three kids as equal beneficiaries and that I don't need to talk to a lawyer. Is it really that simple?
Of course not. So naming children as beneficiaries is a very convenient way of kind of just, you know, taking care of things and thinking that you've taken care of them. But in the scenario that Miles is asking about, for example, you have one child who's under the age of 18, I'm assuming, because he's still in high school. His or her share is going to be tied up until he reaches the age of 18, unless someone goes to court and gets appointed his guardian. The other two children, they're getting, you know, their assets, and potentially they're in college. Those assets are going to be considered as part of any financial aid application. So they may be deemed ineligible for financial aid. So while you've created a scenario where you believe that you've benefited your children and administered your estate efficiently, you've actually created more problems than you solved. So, you know, it's really not that simple. And, you know, frankly, that's why bankers do banking and lawyers do lawyering.
Very good. Well, we appreciate that, Miles. Again, you want to sit down? Always good to ask a follow-up question with attorney. I'm glad you sent it in to us, but you want to sit down with one to go through it and see how that all looks on paper. But appreciate the question. All right, next one comes in from Terry, and it touches on beneficiaries, which is great because we just had an episode on this. But Terry says, my children are adults, and I'm 100% comfortable with leaving them all of their inheritance at once. However, my beneficiary form doesn't allow me to designate what happens if any of them die before me. I called the company and they said I had to use their form and couldn't submit my own instructions. Is there any way to have my account follow my wishes?
Hopefully the beneficiary form will allow you to name your estate as the beneficiary, in which case you can either do a will or a trust and, you know, make it very clear in that document, you know, what your plans are, Terry. Frankly, unfortunately, if a form limits you in such a way that you're concerned about what happens and you can't do anything about it, then certainly that is really your only option, other than maybe, you know, taking the money out of that financial institution and finding one that, you know, has a better form. But the reality is you can generally name your estate in most of these beneficiary designations as your beneficiary, but you would still need to do either a will or a trust to spell out what you want to happen if your primary designations don't survive you.
Well, that's important. Adding the estate as beneficiaries. I don't think we talked about that on our last episode, but we did go into a lot of stuff on beneficiaries and why, you know, just filling out your beneficiary forms isn't going to cover your entire estate plan, while there can still be some holes and some other problems that arise from having that. So please go back and listen to that one if you haven't, Terry. Check that one out. Again, hopefully some answers in there as well. But if you want to sit down with Ted, you can always do that at alatsislawfirm.com. That's where you can find the podcast, also along with whatever podcasting app you are listening on. But thanks for sending that question in. All right, got one more. Want to get your thoughts on from Samantha. Says, if I die, I want my sister to be in charge of the money for my children. She is responsible and I trust her. Can I just name her as beneficiary on my retirement accounts and life insurance?
Well, I mean, you can. It's not a good idea, because if your sister, you know, falls under some sort of undue influence, she could take that money and run and not have to take care of anything for anybody. You've provided no instruction. You've done nothing that ensures that your children are going to be the ones that are going to be actually receiving the benefit of your estate. So Samantha, you know, what I would certainly suggest is, you know, doing some proper estate planning where, you know, you put your money in some sort of trust or some sort of testamentary trust in your will that kind of spells out what has to happen and ensures that, you know, what your estate consists of is managed for the benefit of your children. Certainly, if you believe your sister is responsible enough to do that, you know, she could certainly be your trustee in that scenario. But you want there to be some sort of level of instruction, direction, and accountability, and that's what you get from doing some proper estate planning.
Proper estate planning is always the key, but we do appreciate the questions that have come in on this episode. Miles, Terry, and Samantha, thanks for your questions. If you have one for us, alatsislawfirm.com. That is where you can start. You'll find a link there to schedule a time for your consultation with Ted and his team. But also, you can jot down this number, 718-233-2903. Always great to call directly if you want to do that. But Ted, as always, enjoyed hearing your insights into these questions and encourage people to send in the feedbacks. I know you like hearing from folks on the podcast, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of questions a lot directly to the office as well. So being able to kind of flush some of those out here is great.
Yeah, absolutely, Ben. I love taking the questions and look forward to doing it again.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of New York's Asset Protection Roundtable, a Three Pillars of Protection program. For Ted Alatsis, I am Ben George. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Thank you, Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.